As I said, Lord's Day 45 begins the final section of the Heidelberg Catechism of Prayer. It treats the necessity of prayer, that's question and answer 116, the requisites of prayer, question and answer 117, and then the objects of prayer, question and answer 118, namely what it is we are to ask for. And then it introduces the Lord's Prayer in the last two questions and answers. This morning, we're going to consider the vital relationship between prayer and thankfulness. We see, first of all, that the first Lord's Day on prayer relates it to gratitude. And the very first question and answer of the first Lord's Day on prayer relates it to gratitude. In other words, you can't understand Christian and Reformed prayer without gratitude. Question and answer 116. The answer says, prayer is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. Then you will remember that the third of the three parts to the Heidelberg Catechism is thankfulness. It's the third part of the triple knowledge. According to the biblical and Reformed faith, the Christian life is one of gratitude to God for deliverance from our sin and misery. And then the chief part of that thankfulness, according to answer 116, is prayer. So what is this connection between prayer and thankfulness? Can we pray without gratitude? I could ask an even broader question. Can we do anything acceptably in the Christian life without gratitude? And to ask this question is almost to answer it. We all know the answer in our hearts. Now, the connection between prayer and gratitude is reciprocal. That is, gratitude affects prayer, which in turn affects and even creates gratitude. I'll explain that more fully later. Now, before I give you the theme and divisions of this sermon, I want to make a simple distinction between thankfulness or gratitude and thanksgiving. Thankfulness is a state of heart whereby you are grateful to God for His mercy in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving is the expression of gratitude, usually in the form of words spoken or sung, but not exclusively. Now, often in this sermon, thankfulness and its expression, thanksgiving, will coalesce and run into each other. But we'll see more of that later on. For now, prayer and thankfulness. We'll see first that both are required. Second, that both are parts of each other. And third, that both flow from each other. Prayer and thankfulness, both are required. Both are parts of each other and both flow from each other. Thankfulness and its expression, thanksgiving, are expressly commanded. At the end of our worship service tonight, this morning we're going to sing Psalm 50 verse 14, which tells us to offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And part of the vows that we must pay to God is thanksgiving. Here's 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God's will for your life is to give thanks in everything. Thankfulness is required of believers, first of all, because of the greatness of our sin and misery from which we have been delivered. There is, of course, the awful shame and guilt of sin. But Jesus Christ willingly had our guilt imputed to Him. And He bore our shame on the cross, releasing us from the guilt of our iniquities. There is also the terrible and eternal punishment of sin. And our substitute bore this for us too. In other words, what we deserved, He suffered. He took the cup of God's wrath and drank it to the full, so that that cup would never touch our lips. And the Christian is grateful because he won't suffer what he deserves, the wrath of God eternally. And then we often speak about the power of sin, that is, the moral and spiritual bondage which our sin leads us into and holds us fast in. And this moral and spiritual bondage of sin makes it impossible to seek the true God and to love Him. That's the slavery and thraldom of sin. But now, in the Spirit, the Christian, as opposed to all the freedom fighters and liberation theologians in all the world, the Christian alone has freedom. The freedom to serve God. That's freedom. He doesn't have this freedom in this life perfectly or fully, but he really and truly has it. So that the Christian, by definition, follows Jesus Christ, denies himself, and takes up his cross, though he does it in much sin and weakness, and then he confesses his sin and asks God for strength to do it better next time. And this freedom to serve God increases through our lives with our sanctification. And every Christian ought to be grateful to God for the liberty to love and obey the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because the mass of the world is in utter darkness, Isaiah 9, and doesn't even know it's chained. Thinks it has all sorts of freedom because it freely indulges in its own sin, but doesn't understand Christian liberty. Thankfulness is also required of us because of God's works for our salvation. We were eternally chosen in Jesus Christ when we were just as bad as those who were passed by and ordained to destruction. And God chose us, and we didn't choose Him. And so gratitude to God, not to us for using some alleged free will, but to God who chose us. And the recent sermons we had on the election of the church, as well as evoking praise, are designed to evoke gratitude. Freely chosen of God. That's grace. Eternal grace given us in Christ before the world was. And then we have redemption in the blood of Jesus Christ. Atonement, satisfaction, reconciliation, propitiation, which are effectual, irresistible, almighty, saving, always, for all the elect. We have that in Christ Jesus. And now this salvation is applied to us consciously, so that we know we have the effectual call of God, that our sins are forgiven, and the sanctifying of the Spirit of Christ is in our hearts. Gratitude. Gratitude. Freely we have received. Give thanks. Thankfulness is also required of us, especially now as those in a Reformed church, because of the rich and blessed means which God has given so liberally to us, by which means we then experience and grow in His grace. I'm thinking first of all of the Scriptures, the Word of God in our mother tongue, which blessed gift enables us to have the Word of God dwelling in us richly. And then we have on our shelves at home good Reformed books which explain and apply the Bible. Be grateful. You have the Scriptures and a wealth of Reformed literature in English more than any other language in the whole world. And you have the money to buy these things and read them. And good magazines. Give thanks to God for that. And then you have a church, a Reformed church, and there aren't many in our whole continent, where you hear the preaching of the Word of God, where you have the proper administration of the two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, where there's church discipline, where there's biblical worship, and whereby you can sing the inspired psalms and not the drivel that is churned out in modern hymn books, and where you have biblical church government. So without fear of contradiction, we can say that this church is the way all churches ought to be, a pillar and ground of the truth. So that whatever might happen in church, you do not expect, though you always ought to be watchful, you do not expect to hear heresy. That's a privilege. And for all these things, God requires us to be grateful. To be grateful to Him. Because thankfulness is not primarily directed to the creature. We are to be grateful to our parents, that's the fifth commandment, to our church leaders, school teachers, and all those who help us in what other way. But gratitude is first of all addressed to God, and gratitude is an act of worship, which means, of course, that ingratitude is idolatry, breaking the first and second commandments, and even the third commandment, because we're not keeping God's name holy. Thankfulness is required of all God's people. But not only thankfulness, but prayer also is required. Because, in the words of Answer 116, prayer is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. Notice that what thankfulness is required of us, and then prayer, as the chief part of thankfulness, is also required of us by God. This prayer is expressly commanded. We read that in Luke 11, verse 9. Jesus here commands us, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." And he adds the encouraging words that everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door is opened. And when we don't find, and we don't have doors open, and we don't receive, by and large, it's because we didn't ask. Jesus says, "Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and doors will open." That's his promise. Promise regarding prayer in Luke chapter 11. He further instructs us here to importunate, insistent prayer. Prayer that isn't easily put off. And he gives the story of the friend at midnight. The friend has a friend visit him. He has no bread in the house. And so he goes to another friend at midnight and says, "Give me bread." And the guy says, "Oh, I'm in bed. The family's all packed up." "No, clear off. Don't want to. Go in bed. Leave me alone." And then the guy keeps on knocking and says, "I want bread for my friend." And then he gives him bread, not because he's his friend, but because he wants rid of him and he wants a night's sleep. That's Christ telling us, pray, pray, and pray like that. And so Jesus begins his instruction in prayer, verse 2, "When ye pray," not if ye pray, but when ye pray, "all my disciples will pray. And when you are praying, pray after this model prayer," which we call the Lord's Prayer, not because the Lord himself personally prayed it, but because the Lord himself gave it to us, for us to pray it. Prayer is required by express commands, and prayer is required, and there are express commands calling us to pray, because of what prayer is. Prayer is communion with God, speaking with Him, fellowshipping with our Maker and our Redeemer. And dare I say it, even if there wasn't a command in the whole of Scripture, we still ought to pray. Because it's involved in worship and communion with God. Talking with Him. Prayer also includes the praise of Him, and asking Him for our needs, which of course is part of worship, because we express that we are utterly dependent upon our Creator. Prayer is a requirement. Of course it is. And here we ought to note the proper status and place of prayer. Our attitude to prayer isn't merely that it's a good idea. Yeah, very helpful. Yep. We recommend prayer. Yeah, we do. Prayer is important. Yes, it is. All those things and more, the Reformed faith teaches us, according to the Scriptures, that prayer is necessary. That's question 116. That it is required by God. Answer 116. Just as thankfulness is required. So we're to pray and be thankful to God because He requires it of us. He demands it of us as that which is His due. Now, not only are both prayer and thankfulness required, but both prayer and thankfulness are parts of each other. I'll explain that. It's relatively easy to see how thankfulness, which expresses itself in thanksgiving, is part of prayer. The various elements or parts of prayer are sometimes set forth under the form of an acronym. ACTS, A-C-T-S. The A for adoration. We've got to praise God in our prayers. The C for confession of sin. The T, thanksgiving. And the S, supplication or ardent requests. And all four ought to be found in our prayers. So clearly, thankfulness expressed in thanksgiving is a part of prayer. It's the T in the acronym. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, "Be careful or anxious or worried about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So, thanksgiving is a part of prayer. But now the other half, prayer is a part of thankfulness. Now this is the way of it. The believer who understands his glorious deliverance in Christ from his sin and misery, he's grateful to God. And the question in the heart of such a believer is this: God has saved me. Now, how do I show my gratitude to God? That ought to be the question in all of our hearts this morning. The number one question: how can I show gratitude to God? That's what it is to be a Christian and to be reformed. And the biblical and reformed answer is twofold. You show you're grateful for all that Christ has done for you, first, by a life of heartfelt obedience. That's keeping the Ten Commandments as summarized in the Lord's Days from Lord's Day 34 all the way to Lord's Day 44. 11 Lord's Days. So you show gratitude by keeping God's commandments. And then the second way you show gratitude is by prayer. And that's the last few sections of the Heidelberg Catechism. In fact, answer 116 states that prayer is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. So we've got to be thankful. We do it in two ways, especially obedience to God's law and prayer. And of these two, prayer is the chief part, the main one. Now you've got to do both, but this is the main one and the heart of it. And prayer is the main one, the chief part, because prayer is especially and centrally communion and fellowship with God, which is the very heart of the covenant which God makes with us. Secondly, prayer, or true prayer to make it more specific, is very obviously internal. It's a matter of the heart. It always is. In fact, this is always what the Scriptures and the Reformed faith aims at. The heart. That's the key question, always. And prayer deals with that. And then thirdly, prayer is going to God through our mediator, our sole mediator, Jesus Christ, and telling Him that we love Him, that we want to serve Him, and that we hate our sins and sinfulness, and yes, that we're grateful for our deliverance from these evils in the blood of Jesus Christ. Prayer and thankfulness, both required. Both are parts of each other. And now finally, we'll build upon that in our third point and see that both prayer and thankfulness flow from each other. Prayer flows from thankfulness. From my study of the Scriptures, and you can test this for yourself in your own reading of God's Word, I would say that there are two main sources of prayer, that is, true prayer. The first reason why we pray, truly pray, not now talking about them in terms of importance, but just the first of the two, is we pray out of a sense of danger or distress because of our own sins. We're troubled because of the attack of our various enemies, because of difficult circumstances in which we currently find ourselves or which we foresee. And you find a lot of that in the Psalms. The Psalms are chiefly oracles of praise, but they are also often prayers. When you read the prayers of the Psalms, and you can look for this when you next read them, you'll see often that the prayers arise from a sense of danger and distress. And then the second main source of prayer, as I'm identifying it for you now, is the one set forth here in the Heidelberg Catechism, thankfulness. Thankfulness. Now, how is it that thankfulness is a source of prayer? Well, from what we've said earlier, thankfulness leads to thanksgiving in prayer. And then, of course, thanksgiving is part of prayer. Thankfulness also leads to prayers of adoration. I'm grateful to God. And who is this great God who has saved me? And then you praise Him. Thankfulness adds greater urgency and poignancy to our confession of sin. You get that often in the prophets. Lord, You've brought us out of Egypt. You've given us this good land. And now what do we do to repay You? We fall away into evil. And that just shows how wicked we are. And then we fall before Him and confess our sins. And we could even say too that other supplications and petitions also arise out of thankfulness. We say in effect, Lord, You've done so much for me. And this grateful remembrance of Your goodness enables me and emboldens me to ask more of You. And from that, some of you may recognize the acronym ACTS again, summarizing the various parts of prayer. Thankfulness leads to adoration. A. Thankfulness leads to confession of sin. C. Thankfulness leads to thanksgiving. T. Thankfulness leads to supplication. And so thankfulness leads to prayer, and the thankfulness leads to all the four parts of prayer, at least the way it's commonly divided. It isn't enough, though, to say that thankfulness leads to prayer and is the source of prayer. We ought to add that thankfulness is the source of a healthy Christian life in general, such that without thankfulness, no aspect of the Christian life will be what it should be. Thankfulness, you may say, is like a lubricant that oils the whole part of the Christian life and enables all to work, and to work smoothly and well. Without thankfulness, for instance, what is God's law to us? It's a bothersome restraint. We really want to do something and then we find, but the first commandment. But the fourth commandment. The fifth commandment. I guess we'll have to stop doing that. Or maybe I'll do it anyway. God will forgive me afterwards. That's how we think when we're not grateful to God. The law is a nuisance. When we're not thankful, prayer is an undesirable chore. When we're not thankful, especially, does prayer seem to us the least attractive thing in all the world when we're not thankful. Church meetings, such as the worship service, the catechism classes, the Bible study, special lectures, without thankfulness, they're a drag. I don't really want to go. And then when you go, your heart's not in it, and you don't really want to do much, because we're not thankful. Gratitude. That's the key thing. Work for the church without thankfulness in our hearts to God and Jesus Christ. Then it's a drudgery. Something to be avoided if at all possible. Something, well, let's say it, for everybody else to do. Without thankfulness, without the oil of thankfulness lubricating the whole of the Christian life, it all becomes difficult. The machinery isn't functioning properly. And this truth of thankfulness is that this truth of thankfulness, that it is the source of prayer, overthrows all forms of work righteousness, especially all forms of work righteousness which rest in a false view of prayer. When you understand that prayer comes from the source of thankfulness, well, then you're never going to pray in order to merit with God. Which shows, incidentally, that all those who have this idea of prayer as brownie points that you score with God and that helps you get into heaven, all those people have no gratitude to God, which shows that those people who have no gratitude to God don't understand what it is to be redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ at all. Of course they don't, because it's a religion of works. So it's a vicious cycle. The Christian, on the other hand, he doesn't pray in order to merit. He prays because he is thankful that another merited for him. That's why he prays. And all this, beloved, shows us the cure, or the way back for us when our prayer life is weak. And when I say weak, I mean weak in terms of frequency, weak in terms of fervency. The way back is clear. The way back is not merely, or even primarily, exhortations to pray, though the Bible contains a large number of exhortations to pray, and the church preaches that you must pray. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be given unto you. And again, the encouragement that all those who ask, they receive. All those who seek, they find. All those who knock, the doors are opened. But that isn't the only way, or even the primary way, to grow in prayer. The way back to prayer is the recovery of gratitude to God for our salvation. That's the distinctive reformed way that rests in the grace of God. The way back is to confess sins, therefore. Sins regarding prayerlessness and coldness. And then especially the source of this, sins of ingratitude. That's the problem with us. And that's the source of the other sin regarding our prayer. And then we relearn the triple knowledge of our salvation. We relearn. We remind ourselves of the greatness of our sin and misery. We say that we're not going to be like the Laodiceans by God's grace, who forgot that they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked, but we're going to remember that that's what we are. That we're like that child of Ezekiel 16, covered in blood, thrown out to die. And then God found us in a day of love, and he washed us and cleansed us in Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1 verse 9 warns those in the church about becoming blind so they can't see afar off, and they forget that they were purged from their old former sins. So when we think that we're pretty good, then we lose gratitude, and then we lose prayer. Our own personal prayer, our own family prayer, and it can affect church leaders of public prayer in the congregation. And along with that, we need then to focus on the wonder of the cross of Jesus Christ. That he loved you, consciously, you. And he suffered for you on the cross. And then we ought to rebuke ourselves and stir ourselves up and ask ourselves, maybe my problem is that these things don't mean much to me. Maybe my problem is that these things used to mean more to me, but now I'm too busy. Now other things have crowded out. Now the cares and deceitfulness of the world and of riches have squeezing the word in my life. They used to mean, but they don't anymore. I wonder why. And that's why you're not praying as you used to be. The source of the prayers, gratitude to God, has dried up. So then we need to take a fresh look at the cross of Christ, an ongoing gaze throughout all your days at the cross, and that brings us back to God on our knees in prayer. And then finally, not only is thankfulness the source of prayer, but then prayer is the source of thankfulness. Verses 9 and 10 again in Luke 11. So the person asks and seeks and knocks, and he finds, and the doors open up and things are given unto him. He gets answers. What does he do when he gets answers? Then he gives thanks also for the answers to his prayers. That's answer 116. Prayer is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and God gives his grace and Holy Spirit to those who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. So gratitude is the source of prayer. And then prayer, in terms of the answer to the prayers, becomes an additional reason for gratitude for the answered prayer. It is what we might call a virtuous cycle, similar even to the virtuous cycle that Spurgeon speaks of in connection with prayer on today's bulletin. And the opposite of a virtuous cycle is a vicious cycle. So that when you're not grateful, then you don't pray, then you don't have answers to prayer, and then you're not grateful for that because things are going downhill. And then we need to repent, seek God, and pray out of gratitude. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the comfort of the Scriptures, that thou dost teach us the truth, and bring us back to the cross of Jesus Christ, for he is the whole of our salvation. Make us more grateful. We confess our sins of ingratitude. Cause us to think more of him and to seek thy glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.